your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Well, hello, folks. We're back. This is Paula T., the best of the best, bringing you the new age of trading psychology. Just continuing on the journey that Mark Douglas and I began way back when with our first book, first best-selling book, The Disciplined Trader, and then our second book, Trading in the Zone. And Trading in the Zone has now been translated into 15 foreign languages. So thank you all for the interest in our materials. And we continue to publish new books. As you know, The Key to Power Profits came out a couple weeks ago. And that's just selling gangbusters. So we appreciate that. And The Sacred Path to for the Warrior Trader will be out in a couple weeks. As I said last week, I believe we had to get some licensing issues out of the way. And then, of course, I found some typos. So the editors and I are going over this again before we, you know, republish it for you guys. So we are happy to be here on WBGS Radio, 1610 AM, because it's a great place to be. And now we're going to get going. I also want to clarify, I gave you guys the wrong dates for the upcoming workshop with Larry Pesavento. The actual dates are January 26, 27, 28, 2025, and it's going to be located in Scottsdale at the Hampton Inn, which is right next door to the Talking Stick Resort. And it's a really great place. We're going to have one full day of teaching, which of course I'll be part of, and then 2 days of live trading. So you can either contact Larry or myself for more details on that. We've already got 10 people signed up. So, you know, book your spot soon. Okay. Also, a number of you have asked about The Disciplined Trader being available in audiobook. I want to clarify that there is an audiobook edition out there, a counterfeit edition, and it's been done through AI. It's horrible. I mean, if you want to listen to some computer-generated voice, that's up to you, although it is a counterfeit edition. It is not legal. We did not authorize it. And, you know, we're going after the guys that did this. So if you don't want to necessarily be party to any kind of lawsuit, if you buy it after today, you will be known, you know, you've already been told that it's counterfeit. So do yourself a favor and just wait for the authorized edition from a real professional book reader, which will happen in 2025. And along those lines as well, on eBay, there is a goofball. I'm trying to be kind here. And he has printed up really crappy paperbacks of Disciplined Trader and Trading in the Zone. Again, these are counterfeit guys. It basically looks like they put them on a copy machine, page by page. They're really bad. So please do not patronize them. Please do not buy them from these guys. You can get hardcover copies of both of our books, our first two books, on Amazon for the same price. Okay, authentic copies. So please do not buy these counterfeit products. It's not so much, you know, that these guys are making money over me. It's the fact that the more these counterfeit products are purchased, the less I can write books that I can sell. So, you know, and it's not just about me. This is about anybody in the industry or any books that you want to buy that you think are going to help you trade better. You know, be respectful to the people that did the work. And you know these guys are counterfeit. They wouldn't be selling them for dirt cheap on eBay. And they wouldn't be selling them, you know, in obscure listings on Amazon. So please start being respectful to the people that are giving you the information that is helping you make money as traders. Okay? And this is something that's really, really important to me. And I'm gonna call people out when they do it. And along those lines too. And I'm gonna be here a little feisty here before we get you know, going on our mission here today. I really don't understand why anybody, and it's not just for me, but why anybody feels that it's okay to denigrate anybody on the internet, especially people they don't know, especially people they've never met. I understand that a lot of you are frustrated because you're used to watching the pirated videos of Mark Douglas, which we, you know, keep getting pulled down. And of course, they keep getting reposted on occasion. But, you know, and you're getting annoyed because you don't have access to that information anymore. And so a number of you have taken up the cause, shall we say, to start trashing me and writing very negative things on the internet about me. I don't appreciate that. And frankly, you're the ones that are stealing from our family. Okay? Mark was not only my husband, he was my co-author, he was my business partner, and he was my best friend. He's no longer here. That doesn't mean that I don't own the material. And it doesn't mean that you are entitled to get our materials for free. And it certainly doesn't entitle you to trash me when I pull down those counterfeit and illegal copies. I don't know where you have this sense of entitlement that you think we owe you. I don't know where that comes from, guys, and I don't appreciate it. And for those of you on the internet that have trashed me, I'm putting you on notice now. I will call you out publicly in this show, in our YouTube, on my social media, on Twitter, and I will make a list on my website, and I will call out who you are, your names, and your IP addresses, so everyone else will know how nasty you are, and because that's the bottom line. There is no reason for you to be saying anything about me because you don't even know me. You want to be irritated because I'm pulling down illegal copies of our materials? Too bad. Get over it. Go buy one of our books. Go attend one of our workshops. Get the most current materials. You want to hang on to material that Mark did 15, 20, 30 years ago? Great. Good for you, because that's where you're going to be stuck, is 15, 20, 30 years ago in your mindset approaching your trading. And keep in mind, guys, and I keep telling you this, those workshops are not the complete picture. That is just a workshop out of a lifetime of work. So I'm busting your chops here today, guys, because I'm done with you guys disrespecting me. I truly am. I'm not even going to acknowledge this anymore. But what I am going to do is I will list you publicly. I will tell people that this is what you're saying about me, and I don't appreciate it. So then all your friends and family can see, gosh, this guy's a real goofball. Why did he say stuff like that? And I'm not going to get into the things that you guys said, but obviously it's enough for me to be this hot about it on the show. So cool it with your comments. If you got something to say, say it to my face. Stop being a coward and thinking you're hiding on the internet, because you're not invisible on the internet. We have every one of your IP addresses and your email addresses, so you're not invisible. Okay, so that's my cleaning house for today. Like I said, I'm busting your chops because I do not deserve to be denigrated or castigated by traders who don't want to do the work and can't make it as a trader because they don't want to do the work on themselves. That's the bottom line. I'm here to make you better. I'm here to help you think. I'm here to help you realize your trading dreams. I am not walking in Mark Douglas's shoes. We had our own set of shoes, and we walked that path together to bring you this material. So make no mistake, I am not filling in for him. I am continuing the work we started in 1984. And if you have a problem with that, like I said, pick up the phone and call me. Be an adult. Okay, so we're done with that for now. So the next thing we're going to talk about is distractions. Distractions are one of the key reasons that traders do not make it. And when I say, you know, when Mark and I talk about you know, the small numbers of traders that make it and the large numbers that don't. And it's about 97% of traders who don't make it. When we say that, and when I say it now today, it doesn't mean that you're not making it as a trader. It just means that you're not fulfilling your expectations of where you think you can take your trading results to. So yes, you may be making a living as a trader. You may be making a little bit of profit increase every year. But when I say you're not making it, what I'm saying is, let's say you have a goal of you want to take 100,000 out of the market in a year. And let's say you don't do that. That is what I mean by not making it. Okay? Now you might have made 50,000, 70,000, 80,000, but it wasn't the 100,000 that you wanted. And so now you're feeling less than. You're feeling that you haven't accomplished your trading goals. So that's what we're talking about when we say, you know, 97% of all traders don't make it. Now, you don't necessarily lose, but you're just not accomplishing your goals. So, like I said, for the most part, traders do not fulfill their highest level of achievement in taking profit because they allow themselves to be distracted. And so what we're going to do here is I want you to start thinking before we go into the break. I want you to make a short list right off the top of your head of what other things you do while you're trading. Make a list. Are you checking emails? Are you on Facebook? Are you answering texts? Are you listening to the news? Are you playing with your kids? You know, what is it you're doing? Are you at the gym? Are you driving? I don't know where you trade from, and I know people trade from all kinds of spaces nowadays and on all different kind of devices. So before we go to break, I want you to make this list so you can share it on the next segment. You know, make that list of what distracts you. Because it is a distraction, because when you're trading, you should only be focused on your trading. That's it. Okay? No social media, no answering emails. You need to be focused on the market. Because if you're not focused on your trades, then you can't manage your trades. That's a distraction. Anything else other than looking at your charts is a distraction. So we're going to go to break. I want you to make that list, and then we'll go over that list when we come back. Okay, so there's a couple things we can go over here quickly. When it comes to distractions, as I've said this before, guys, and obviously I still need to bring it home to you guys. I understand we live in a culture where we have to multitask. I get that, okay? I mean, there's lots of times when I multitask throughout the day. I may be working on a book, and then maybe I'll take a break from working on a chapter and, check my emails. But when I am trading, that's all I'm doing. And I understand that there's lots of times when the markets are boring, or maybe you're not 100% that day, and so you just kind of let your mind wander briefly thinking, okay, well, nothing's really happening, or I'm not really sure I should have put on that trade. And so, you know, you might go get up, get a cup of coffee, or you might even be driving through Starbucks drive-through. You might be trading while you're driving in your car. I know that sounds a little strange to me, but I actually have traders that will call me and they're on their cell phone and they're in their car trading. I don't understand that, because to me that's distractive driving, but what the heck? A lot of traders work from home, so they may have kids that come in and interrupt them. because they haven't set any boundaries with their home office. Countless traders who I work with are continually on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, Instagram or TikTok, all of that social media while they're trading. I don't even understand that concept. What is so important on any social media that's more important than you focusing on your trades to make money? There's nothing on social media that should be swaying your focus away from you paying attention to your trades to take profit. I don't even get that. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I have a Facebook page. It's purely social. I don't do any business on there. I do have my Twitter feed, which we're gearing back up again now that the election's over. I'm not on TikTok. I mean, I get it. It's entertaining, but that's what it is. All that stuff is entertaining. It's entertainment. It is not business. It is not going to help you improve your trading. I don't care who you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. And this, you know, this gets me to another point, which we've talked about before. You know, you don't know who these people are on YouTube with their videos. You don't know who these people are on Facebook making great claims about taking tons of money out of the market every day. You don't know who they are. There's no proof that they're taking this money out. And yet you're drawn to that because you want to make the kind of money they claim they're making. And yet you are making a choice not to stay focused on your own trades. I don't even get that, guys. So, you know, please, you know, call me up this coming week. Send me an email and you explain that to me. You explain to me what your justification is in your mind, what your rationalization is in your mind to watch all these anonymous people on the internet make all these grandiose claims about how much money they're taking out of the markets instead of staying focused on trades you are in right at that moment. That's absolutely outrageously unprofessional. And you don't deserve to be trading. And that's it. And again, I'm busting you guys' chops here because we're winding this year down. And I want to give you stuff to start thinking about that you are not approaching your business. You're trading as a business. And that's unacceptable. That should be unacceptable to you. This is your money that you worked hard for. Is it not? It's not my money. And for a lot of you listening to this, this is also your family's money. I can't tell you how many traders have called me up and said, well, you know, I convinced my brother, my uncle, my grandmother to, you know, let me open a trading account. And yet you're sitting there watching social media instead of paying attention to the very trade that you put on using your money as well as other people's money. That is so mind-boggling to me and so disrespectful to the very people that gave you money as well as being disrespectful to yourself. And all that shows you and shows me is that you don't believe in your ability to make money as a trader. Because if you believed in your ability to make money as a trader, if you believed in your ability to be a power profit taker, meaning taking profit every time it makes itself available to you, no matter how small or how large, then you'd be doing it. So don't come back to me and say, well, you don't understand. You know, yeah, I do understand. The bottom line is, if you're not 100% focused on your trading while you're in a trade, then you're not a trader, and you're being disrespectful to yourself and anybody else whose money you took. And you took the money from them, promising them that you were going to invest it. And you're not investing it because you're sitting there on social media, listening to total strangers make great claims, thinking, well, if I keep listening to him, maybe it'll sink in. No, it's not going to sink in because 99.9% of all those guys are not making what they claim. And I can guarantee you that is a fact. And you know how I know that? Because every single one of you, and I'm talking tens of thousands of traders over the years that I have worked with, when I have told you, go ask them for their track record, Go ask them to prove to you how they're making this money. Have them show you proof that they are taking that amount of profit out of the market. And not one of you ever did that. So you know why you didn't do it? Because you know they're not telling the truth. Now, they're probably taking some profit out of the market. But in our industry, everybody exaggerates. Okay? No, except me, of course. But my point being is when I give you percentages, that is based on historical data. And with all these people on the internet now, there are no consequences for them making any of these claims. And you subscribe to them, give them your hard-earned money to listen to their advice, whether it's good or not, whether they have experience or not. And if it goes south, you have no recourse to get any of your money back. Because none of these people are regulated. There's no laws. There's no laws here in the U.S. currently, you know, to combat internet fraud. And these guys know that. So my point being is, you can listen to all these guys all you want, and you can take tidbits from them, because I'm sure they have some information that is good for your trading. But you don't have to do that while you're in a trade, because you already put your trade on. You don't need their advice to put a trade on, because you already know how to trade. So if you're already in a trade or a set of trades, why are you listening to anybody else talk about their trading when you're already involved with your own trades? You have to ask yourself that and write down the answer. Why are you listening to anybody else while you are in the middle of a trade? You know why you're doing it. Because you don't want to take responsibility for the outcome of your own trades. Then you can go back and say, oh, well, so-and-so on the internet said this, and, you know, I thought he knew better than me, and, well, you know, I guess he didn't. So you don't have to take responsibility for any losing trades. That's a bunch of hooey, guys. Grow up. Okay? You're the only one that can make the decisions about your trading. You. Not any charlatan, not any goofball on the internet, not some total stranger who says whatever. Okay? These are facts, guys. You know, our books would not be all-time bestsellers on Amazon if they didn't provide empirically proven concepts and practical skills. So I know what I'm talking about. And I'll say it till I'm blue in the face until the day I die to help you guys. So when you allow yourself to be distracted, you are no longer a trader. You no longer have a mindset of a winning trader. And you no longer have respect for the very process of trading itself. Is that who you want to be? Is that the kind of trader you want to be? That's a choice that you can make. And it's a choice that you have to make every day before you put on your first trade. Now think about that. We'll be back after a break.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, so with regard to the stuff on the internet, you know, I'm going to give you another example. And I know some of you have heard this example on different podcasts I've done, but this is pretty typical. And this is why I get so frustrated for you guys, because, you know, I'm here to give you advice, you know, that's going to make your trading easier, all right? I'm not here necessarily, you know, to bust your chops, but you guys really have to understand there's a lot of people on the internet that are full of BS. It's just the nature of our industry. You know, and here's a classic example. had a trader in his late 50s come to me for coaching. He was very successful in the IT industry in Silicon Valley and had semi-retired. And he decided to begin day trading and had recently brought in a partner, and he wanted to work with me to build a strategy so the two of them could trade together. Now, even though his partner had invested in stocks for several years and had a portfolio, his partner had never invested any money to use as a trader or a day trader, let's say. So my client wanted to make sure that the both of them were on a similar path, a mental path, regarding market analysis and money management before opening their trading account together. So our coaching sessions entailed both of them understanding that even though each one of them may trade the same markets, each of their perspectives of market direction may be different at any given moment during the trading day. And they would have to recognize that both of them may have differing views of market direction, and each perspective may or may not be valid, but they would have to be able to accept that about each other to be able to make financial decisions quickly. I mean, remember, they're trading the same account here. So after several coaching sessions, they seemed to manage how to figure out to work together. And in one of our last sessions, they happened to mention that they began following a, quote, fantastic trader on the internet who was a, quote, mere 20 years old. And again, the emphasis on fantastic and mere are their words. Now, they mentioned how brilliant this young man must be of his claims of taking $250K out of the market each day, and he must be a good trader because he had 100,000 subscribers. So my client and his partner were so intrigued by this alleged internet sensation, they began subscribing to this trader's advisory service to the tune of $4,000 a month. Now, I was pretty surprised that these seemingly intelligent and successful businessmen would subscribe to a complete stranger without doing any research. And I just thought, well, you know, it's their call. But in the meantime, as they were going on and extolling this kid's, you know, brilliance, I pulled out my calculator and decided I had to give them this example. So this is the example I gave them. If this trader on the internet was charging $4,000 a month for, let's say, only 5,000 subscribers, this is a month, okay? That would mean he was making $240 million alone on subscriptions. Now, if he was taking $250,000 in trading profits daily, why would he charge for subscriptions? I mean, think about this, guys. I mean, this is what it means to do your research before paying for any subscriptions or for trading advice from someone you don't know at all. So my comment obviously did not sit well with either of them. And these are the kinds of things, as traders, you have to think about, because this particular 20-year-old claims didn't make any sense. Now, I'll be honest with you, if I had the time to be a day trader, which I don't, because it's just me running the business now with my staff, but I'm the only one doing the coaching and the workshops and the books, if I was taking that kind of profit myself on a daily basis, and I can guarantee you any other trader I know was taking that level of profit daily or even on a monthly basis, yes, I would still be coaching and hosting workshops and writing books along with those other traders I know. But more than likely, just like me, we would all be providing our services for free. Okay? If we're taking that kind of money out of the markets because we have that kind of time, then, you know, why would I charge anybody else to tell them how to do it as well? Now, with that said, we can always make the argument that this young trader may just be very greedy. But it's been my experience that that's usually just not the case. And again, now for those of you thinking, well, why aren't I taking that kind of money out of the markets if my philosophy and skills are empirically proven? Well, first, since Mark Douglas passed away unexpectedly, I've been busy keeping our office open by myself, other than my office staff, of course. Second, I no longer have the luxury of spending all day trading like I did when Mark was alive. Over the years, Mark and I developed a schedule of when he would trade, when he would teach, and vice versa, same with me. So I continue to provide coaching and workshops to help traders reach their peak performance because that is my passion and my calling for you guys. And I'm always in the process of researching new partnerships which would allow me more time to trade. However, finding the right people to learn to the degree that they would have to teach our materials is a challenge. It is. I mean, I would love to have someone as a partner. And so with that said, you know, feel free to reach out to me if you're interested in becoming a certified trading warrior coach using our materials. This is something we're going to bring about in 2025. We've been working on it for some time. So anyway, getting back to the example, I suggested that they ask this trader for his track record to substantiate and validate his claims. And this is, again, this is based on my longstanding experience in this industry, guys. And, you know, and again, because the current lack of protections for the average trader, you know, by any internet fraud, by any internet hosts. So, again, my client got very upset, kind of told me off, in essence, stating I didn't know what I was talking about. The session ended with some harsh words on his end toward me for having, quote, wasted his time with me. And I said good luck and hung up the telephone. You know, there's no way to work with traders on any of their trading challenges until they are ready to hear what I have to say and if they're open to learn. And more importantly, I do not tolerate anyone being rude to me. Obviously, you heard that in our first segment today. Now, of course, the level of his anger toward me only told me that deep down inside of himself, he knew I was telling him the truth. Now, sadly, as with many traders I work with these days who do not do any investigation or research into these internet media types before paying them any fees, my client called back a year later in dire straits. Along with the monthly fees they had been paying this trading sensation for daily market commentary, he and his partner had taken also his recommended trade setups. Almost all the trades went south, which blew up their trading account, which was originally funded at $750,000. And now that whiz kid was nowhere to be found. I had to ask them why it took them so long to figure out the kid was not a successful trader. And their answer was, you know, pretty typical. They felt he must have more knowledge being younger than they were. And there was just something they thought they didn't understand about his methodology, which kept them as subscribers. And that is correct. What they didn't understand about that kid's methodology, or maybe they didn't want to admit to themselves, was that that kid's methodology was how to bilk the newbie trader out of money. Because he knew, that whiz kid knew, there are little to no repercussions on his end. Now, as of today, that WizKid is back up and running with the same spiel on the internet, making different monetary claims a little smaller because he's trying to provide himself with some anonymity, but he's just as slick as before. So the problem is this is a major distraction, guys. This is what I'm talking about. So, because the average person who may have experienced a certain degree of success in a current or past career really has no idea what it takes to become a successful trader. And so as new traders, they seek out others on the internet, and they're eager and willing to pay almost any amount for what they think is market expertise, to help them learn faster. So, you know, it's not going to happen, guys. This is like looking for the Holy Grail. Countless traders are still looking for the Holy Grail. It doesn't exist. The Holy Grail is your mind. There is nothing outside of you that is going to provide you with anything to help you learn faster and trade better except what's inside your skull, your gray matter, your brain. Okay? That's a fact. All right? So the point here is, whether you're new to trading or you've reached a plateau, if you're going to listen to someone else, do some research. Okay? You're going to save yourself a lot of aggravation. So, because if you're going to listen to someone else, now you're allowing yourself to be distracted. Now you're not trusting yourself. Now you don't believe yourself. And that is not the mindset of a winning trader. It's just not. So you have to make a decision. You have to ask yourself, okay, if I don't believe I know how to trade, or I don't think I have what it takes, or I'm not smart enough, or I don't have enough expertise, what would be the downside to seeking out someone else who I think has better information or useful information and asking them for references, asking them for their track record? What would be the downside to that, guys? And be truthful. Be honest. What would be the downside? Now you think about that during the break, and we'll be right back. Okay, so the last point I'm going to cover today, and guys, please make those lists. Make the list of where you think you're being distracted, and answer the question about, you know, why you wouldn't try to get some background information on anybody that you're going to subscribe to, whether you're subscribing to them for free or if you're paying them. I mean, seriously, okay? Please do this. This is for your benefit. Now, the last thing we're going to cover today is, let me clarify what I said last week. When I talked about becoming a winning warrior trader, and I made the reference to the Hollywood movie Braveheart featuring Mel Gibson, I guess I wasn't clear, because I got quite a few emails this week from traders saying, well, you told us to contact you about the Braveheart movie. Okay, what's that mean? You know, what am I supposed to get from that sentence? Now, and then there was other guys that wrote me and said, oh, I never saw the movie. Explain the example. So let me clarify this for you guys. I thought this was self-evident, but apparently it wasn't. If you haven't seen the movie, watch the movie. If you haven't seen the movie in years, watch it again. There is nothing I can tell you about the example if you haven't seen the movie or if you don't remember the movie. Okay? I didn't think I needed to say this, guys, but I guess I did. So after you are done watching the movie and after I explain this example here today, then, you know, go on my website, click on the introductory call, schedule the time, and we can discuss it. So this is all part of becoming a warrior trader, not having distractions and trusting the very people that you are getting advice from. And the other thing is from the movie. All right. So the movie is fictional for the most part, although William Wallace was an actual person, and so was Robert the Bruce. So, you know, in the beginning, Wallace's father is killed through skirmishes. They're trying, you know, way back when, they're trying to free themselves from English rule. And Wallace's uncle comes to rescue him after his father's died, after his father is killed, and whisks him away somewhere else in Europe and teaches him how to think before picking up his sword. So Wallace returns years later and just plans on resuming a life in the countryside, getting married, enjoying life as a farmer. Unfortunately, current political events preclude him from achieving that goal. So I won't get into the whole, you know, set of events, but there were just events that take place that make him realize he can't avoid being a part of current events at that time. He doesn't choose to be a warrior, but once his dreams of a simple life are taken away from him by English soldiers, he realizes he must use his mind to achieve what he thought was lost. So, along his journey to self-realization, he offers his allegiance to Robert the Bruce, who, for all intents and purposes, will be the next king of Scotland, even though it's in name only, because they're still ruled by England. Now, Robert the Bruce has no intention of fighting the English to rule Scotland, just like most of the other noblemen. They've agreed to take titles and lands just to keep the peace because they just don't want to get into a battle. Now, there's two critical moments which I want to bring up real quickly as to why traitors have to think. The first example is when Wallace loses a battle and there's a fight between him and what he assumes is an English warrior who has full metal armor, including a metal helmet, where the warrior's face cannot be seen. Wallace succeeds in getting the warrior to the ground off his horse and strips off the helmet, only to see, to his utter shock, that the warrior is none other than Robert the Bruce, who he thought was his ally. The ultimate feeling of betrayal on the part of Wallace in that moment is clearly felt, at least when we were there in the theater watching, looking around. As I looked around the theater, I saw a number of people embarrassed, but they were wiping away tears. Now, as other English soldiers move in to save Wallace, one of Wallace's men arrives on the scene, galloping on a horse to help Wallace and to kill Robert the Bruce. But instead of fighting each other, Robert the Bruce orders Wallace's man to save Wallace, and take him out of the battle, which he does. Now, all of us listening here, we've been betrayed at some point in our lives, okay? The feeling of hopelessness we might feel, a sense of defeat through betrayal, is familiar to all of us, reminding us that nothing we're doing or nothing that we did will make a difference in achieving our goals if we're not at our peak performance. And the reason that I bring this up was because every single trader in the market has their own opinion, their own perspective of market movement. So the feeling that betrayal that many traders get when they have done what they think is their personal best and they still lose in the markets is familiar to anyone who trades. Because it's easy to feel betrayed by the markets, even though trading the markets doesn't guarantee you profit, whether you are all in or still making trading errors, because the markets are completely out of your control in terms of always achieving profit, because the markets are a living entity comprised of the thoughts, beliefs, opinions about market direction from every single trader across the globe. No trader knows what any other trading is thinking. Just like Wallace didn't know that Robert the Bruce was thinking, even though he thought they were attempting to achieve the same goal. They had two different perspectives of current data. Now, I hope you guys are getting this. And if you're not getting it, like I said, sign up, you know, for the introductory call and we'll take it further. The second point we don't have time for today, so we'll bring it up next week. But you have to understand, the act of betrayal on the part of Robert the Bruce toward Wallace, at least in the movie, is real. However, the point here is how Wallace reacted to that betrayal. Because he'd been betrayed before. But in this instant, we could say Wallace hadn't learned from his prior experiences being betrayed. So looking at that example from this perspective, you have to ask yourself, how many times do you have to feel betrayed by the markets before you understand the very nature of the markets yourself? How many times do you have to feel betrayed by the markets before you allow yourself, you choose to understand the very natures of the markets yourself? So this is Paula T. Webb signing off. Thank you for being with us this week. Again, this is WBGS Radio. It's a great place to be. You can reach me at 760-636-4290. And as always, paulatwebb.com. Have a great trading week.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatwebb.com.